Hello, West Lib. This is Matt. You are listening to WGLZ. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. I have Jim Bersey calling in today. Jim does a lot of music around the valley. He's been in several bands. He has several albums out. He has great music just all over. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, hey, you're welcome, and thank you for having me, Matt. I was honored when you asked me, really.
Absolutely. This is going to be a great interview. I can't wait to get into this. I was wondering, what was your motivation to pursue a career in music?
Well, as you know, Matt, because I had you as a student many, many years ago. Well, not that many years ago. But, you know, I'm a teacher, and I've always loved music. And I've been fortunate enough to play music and perform through my teaching career the past, oh my gosh, 28 years. But anyway, my mom and dad, you know, I gotta credit them because they loved music. They loved music, and our house was always filled, whether it was the record player, stereo, the radio, whatever it was, we always had music in the house. And my mom was a big John Denver fan. So that's what I was listening to first, and I loved it, and I probably know most of the words of his songs. I think he was a great songwriter and musician, but they were my first motivation. They got me to love music, and I remember when I was probably in fourth grade, one year for Christmas, they bought me a cheap little acoustic guitar, and I started my lessons down at Guerrero's in Wheeling, and that's where it really started. My interest really started to grow after that. I couldn't get enough of it.
Oh, wow. See, I never would have guessed. That's awesome.
So, yeah. It usually starts back when you're growing up and with mom and dad. So, yeah, I have them to thank for that.
Absolutely. So you said John Denver gave you that was kind of like the music your mom was playing, and that's what you're into.
Oh, yeah. She's, I would dare say she was his number one fan.
Wow.
Yeah.
So which groups had a strong influence on the music you made?
Well, undoubtedly, it all started with rock and roll, and when I heard and saw Kiss, that was it. I remember buying my first Kiss Alive, which was a double album set. I was probably in third or fourth grade, and I can't tell you how many times I listened to that on my stereo, and I would take it over to my next door neighbor's house, and he had a much bigger console stereo, and so we would turn it up all the way and rattle the windows and everything and act like we were in Kiss, and that was it. I listened to it. I would look at the album art, and Kiss always had a lot of good extras in their albums, booklets and tattoos and stickers and all these neat things. And I would be looking at that and listening to it with my headphones on, late at night, and looking up at the ceiling and just, dreaming about, my gosh, this would be so awesome to be in a band like this or play this stuff or get to sing this stuff one day. So I gotta say the biggest influence on me was buying that first Kiss album and seeing their stage show. I was blown away.
Wow, for sure. Seeing your first Kiss concerts, it's like you just remember it for the rest of your life. It's like getting your license and like your first date and going to see your first Kiss concert. It's unbelievable.
That ranks up there, and I think anyone who's been involved with music would say the same thing. It's just like, yeah, I remember that, and I put that memory up there with all those things you said, Matt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And even though, you know, me and you both know Kiss, they have some great music, but it's not very complicated, and it's obviously like the pyrotechnics and all the background stuff that just makes it a concert. It's just amazing.
Their shows were pioneers in giving the audience not only something to listen to, but tons of things to watch. they were really pioneers at that.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I know you were in, whenever I was little, the band JFK means a lot to me. We would always be so excited. We'd go from you teaching us geometry, teaching us like pronouns and like adverbs, and we'd go watch you guys tear it up in the theater. And I was wondering, what happened to JFK? I know you guys went to Punching Oswald, and you've been doing a lot of solo stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, JFK, that was my first steady gigging band. And, you know, those guys, they already had their thing going. And, their singer had to leave. And, one of the guys in the band, my good friend Joe Heskey, asked me, "Hey, you want to, you know, I know you sing. You want to come up, or we're like trying some people out?" And I did, and I remember, you know, leaving there and just saying, "Hey, well, you know, they have a shot. What do you think?" And this and that, and everyone kind of looked at one another and said, "Yeah, I think you're gonna do it. I think you'll fit the bill." So, you know, that was a great first band to be in, because I was the youngest one in the band, and I learned a lot from being in that band. We played anywhere and everywhere that would have us for, at least 20 years. And, I learned a lot, like I said, performing live when I was in JFK, because there's things you don't know, when you go into a paying gig in a bar or restaurant or wherever you're playing, of all the things that could go wrong. And your PA system and your lights, and, you know, if anything could go wrong, it will. But I learned to deal with a lot of that stuff and the way a band works in JFK. And it was so fun. It was a great period of time. And, you know, it just after almost 20 years, Matt, you know, there were people who wanted to move out of the area and things like that, or take different jobs that moved them out of the area, and the logistics just, you know, didn't jive, and they couldn't stay in the band. And honestly, like, everyone in that band are still friends, and, you know, we still are on very good terms. And it was just a thing where we were really lucky to have, like I said, almost a 20-year run playing or in a tri-state area. And just little things like life and, you know, jobs out of the area kind of like pulled people out of the band, and that's what ultimately, you know, put an end to JFK. But, you know, what a great band. I was really fortunate to be involved in that project for sure.
Yeah, I mean, whenever I picked up one of your albums from the Doneville Pharmacy,
yeah,
and oh my god, it blew me away. I was like, is this actually my seventh grade teacher out here jamming? I was like, you could have been any other band in the 90s. You could have told me you were Pearl Jam. I would have believed it. It was incredible. It was incredible music. Couldn't
well,
believe it.
I tell you what, we were really still really proud of that CD, and I still listen to it in my car once in a while. And the place that we did it at, another good friend of mine that I've played with the band and other projects and acoustically for years, Mike Ofka, he owns and runs Innovations Studios in Steubenville. One of the best musicians, one of the best producers and recorders, and real fortunate that he basically recorded, produced, and mixed the JFK CD for us up in Steubenville. And without him, honestly, I don't know if that CD would have sounded that good, you know, because we're really proud of that, and I got to hand it to my buddy Mike for really helping us out recording that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so awesome, man. So I was wondering, you said you guys played various places. I was wondering, what's the most interesting place you've ever performed?
Well, I was thinking about that, and I mean, they're all neat places to play, because any time that you are trusted enough and someone will hire you as a band to come in and play and pay you, you know, well, that I'm appreciative, and I loved all the places I played. But like the two, there are two that stand out in my mind. just because of like their heritage and the things people think of when you hear these places. First of all, we got to play twice at the Capitol Theater in Wheeling.
Wow.
And we got to open up one of those times for a band called Government Mule. And if you know anything about them, their singer and guitar player is named Warren Haynes, and he is legendary. I mean, he is just like one of the best blues rock guitarists and vocalists that you're ever going to hear. And, you know, we got to meet them. I got to talk to him. And just being in a Capitol Music Hall, being up on that stage, it's just as old school as you could get. You're on that wooden floor in the backstage area with all the trusses and lighting and sound gear. And, you know, that just stands out in my mind as one of the most memorable places that the band got to play. And when you're playing in a theater that size, just everything sounds different. I mean, that's what I think of when you're in a touring band and you get to play bigger places. It's that feeling you can just feel pounding in your chest and echoing off of the theater walls and stuff. And it was just awesome all the way around. That's one of my vivid memories of great places to play. And the other one is when we got to play at the Hard Rock Cafe up in Pittsburgh. We were selected to play a Battle of the Bands type deal. And we got to play up there. And just being on that stage with the logo behind you, and you're on the Hard Rock stage, and everything surrounding you that you were looking at before, you know, the pictures with the artists and they sign their names on it and everything, and you're thinking, wow, I got the opportunity to play on this stage that some of these guys came in and, you know, maybe played a set or a couple songs on, and that was really cool as well. It's probably my two favorite memories of venues that we played.
Now, were those the early days of JFK, or were they after a couple years?
The Hard Rock Cafe in Pittsburgh was earlier on, and you had to play. It worked out well because you had to play mostly original stuff, and that was, you know, luckily we made the CD and everything, and we could play the amount of originals that they wanted there and a couple covers. But that was earlier on. The Capitol is when there were a couple members changes in there, and I can't remember what year it was exactly, but that was a little bit later on, and that was not with the original lineup that was in the band when I joined, you know, 20 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you kind of got me hyped up a little bit when you started talking about the Capitol with the heart thumping, and so I was wondering if you still get the same excitement from performing as you did in the past.
Yeah, I do. And honestly, it's like talking to people from time to time that I see out at the gigs, and they're like, wow, you're still doing this. You know, that's great. That's great. And some of them would say the same thing you did, Matt. It was like, oh, my gosh, I remember when I had you as a sixth grade teacher in English class and this and that. And I just think it's awesome you're still doing this. And I say, you know what, when I don't get excited about it and look forward to it, and I don't really love to do it anymore, and it's like, oh, geez, I got to do this again, well, then I won't do it. But I do. I get excited, and at the same time, I get nervous every single time, even after all these years. It's like, you know, how do you still get nervous? But I don't know what it is. It's just, and after the first song or two, it goes away. But I guess it's more of a good type nerves. Maybe it is just because I'm excited and still getting to do this, and you know, after how many years and of you know, starting this, I never thought that I would be playing out solo acoustically for years now, and then still with the band and with JFK and with my rock band now called Punching Oswald. And you know, yeah, I do. I love it, and I still get excited for it after all these years.
That makes me happy, because I can tell when you're playing that you're still very passionate about it.
Oh, I love it. It's really fun. I mean, it's a great time.
Good. So we're going to take a quick 30-second break here on WGLZ. We'll be back with Jim Bersey after this 30-second break.
This is your sign to stop flipping through the stations. Crank up the dial. You are listening to WGLZ, West Liberty's College Radio.
Hello, West Liberty. This is Matt, and you are listening to WGLZ. We are College Radio, and we are passionately vocal. We're back here with Jim Bersey. So, Jim, before we left off on that little break, we were talking about how you still felt playing and if you still got excited for it and everything. So I was wondering, if you had the opportunity to talk to your younger self, what is some advice you'd give yourself?
I tell you, I really had to think about this because, well, let's see here. I made some notes, okay. I'll be honest with you, because I didn't want to forget anything. It's kind of simple, but it's difficult when you're younger. I would say that the practice, whether you're a musician of any kind or you want to sing, practice every chance you get. When you're younger, other things really seem important or, you know, a lot more fun when your friends want to do this or that, you know, when you're in high school and junior high. You know, being disciplined, whether you're going to play an instrument or whether you want to be a singer, a vocalist, you know, is probably the most important thing. And all the parties and stuff, they're fun, but they can wait, you know. I know it's not fun at the time to stay home and practice, but I know a lot of very talented guitarists. I could use an example over in Wheeling. When there was a place called the Office Lounge, and they used to have these jam nights throughout the week, and you would just see these people come in and sign up to play, and you never saw them before, and you're like, well, I wonder what this guy will be like, wonder what this girl will sing like, and this and that, and you know, and they a lot of them were just awesome, and talking to one of these people afterwards, and they're like, yeah, you know, when everyone else was out, going out and partying, having fun, I was in my room, you know, for hours upon end trying to learn this guitar solo.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, you've heard it how many times, practice makes perfect. If I could give myself advice, I would say, you know, be disciplined and really, really put the time in to learning your instrument or being a better vocalist and, you know, just practicing to be the best you can.
Yeah, for sure. And that makes me, like, think of, like, Eddie Van Halen. He said, you know, Diamond Dave and his brother would go out and party, and he would just sit there with a six-pack, and he'd play all night and just get better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had friends that I've played with in the years past that said, yeah, you know, the same thing. When everyone was out, you know, I was back in my house in my room and I was playing nonstop. So, you know, it's not fun then, but how many years down the road, boy, it sure pays dividends. It pays off.
Yeah. I mean, I wish we could all talk to our younger selves and, you know, give that same
right.
message because, you know, I'm still a young kid, you know, I mean, but at this point, I wish I could have told myself like what I know now and I don't know.
I think everyone says that to themselves.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's like, man, if I'd have known that, what I know back then, wow.
For sure.
You know, things could have been a lot different or maybe a little bit better or, you know, I could have been better at this or that, but, yeah.
Oh, well, you know, life's experience, you know.
Yes.
So, I guess this kind of goes with my last question. I was wondering what advice you'd give to someone who's just starting out in the music industry.
I thought about that too, and I think what I would suggest is, once again, sacrificing your fun time to practice. If you're in a band, especially, you know, find guys who are into it and who don't mind missing out on some things to really dedicate themselves to playing and practicing, you know, getting down to, and I'm going to reference Geddy Lee from Rush. He's like, you know, practicing stuff so much that until it becomes what they call muscle memory is not fun. He goes, but, you know, when you're out on the stage and you don't even have to think what you're doing and you just do it, then it pays off. So that's some advice there. And the reason you want to be that disciplined, and I was thinking about this, well, you want to get hired. You want people to hire you. And later on, to get these, you know, I was thinking back, how are these bands, you know, out of our area getting these really good gigs at these places that are really good that people want to get into? And, you know, for certain places like that, you had to have some kind of agency or some kind of manager that was booking these places. You couldn't just walk in and say, hey, here's our demo tape, hire us. And to get those people, to get those agencies or managers to look at you, well, you had to be good. You had to be really, really good. And if the right person, if you got in contact with the right person or agency, they're going to have more contacts than you could ever imagine, you know. And these are good people that will get you in touch or playing in places that you really want to be in. And they make things a whole lot easier for you. And the better you are, the easier it is for these people to notice you. And then, like I said, they get you into these places where more people can see you. And they tell a person, they know this person, they know this, venue or whatever. And it's so beneficial to you to get involved with those people who can help you out, because they know so many more people. And if they're trustworthy and they recommend your band or you to someone else, they're going to take their word for it because they trust them. And the sooner you can get involved with someone like that, good people, trustworthy people, the better off you'll be.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the most important things in life is build connections, go branch out from here, put yourself out there.
So. Definitely.
So you've been in the industry for a couple of years, you know?
Yeah.
I was wondering what's like some of the things you've learned from all your years in the industry.
Oh, geez. Learned a lot of things over the years. When you're involved in music industry on any level, even if it's just, you know, my situation, you know, mostly playing on weekends or in the summer, playing anytime, you know, in addition to weekends, like I've done over the past many years. But a couple of things that I think I learned over the years are, no matter what, you have to act professionally. And yeah, you got to be courteous to the people who are going to come out to see you and want to be entertained by you. And be courteous to the people in the businesses that hire you too. Because, like I said before, Matt, things are going to go wrong sometimes. And you have to always treat everyone with courtesy. And you have to find a way to get through, you know, something that might happen 2 minutes before you're ready to start your show or go on, you know. And because people will remember that. People remember the people that, you know, can roll with the changes and adapt and are real, you know, real courteous with them. Another thing is that I learned is try to surround yourself with genuinely good people. And like I said before, because they have a way of knowing other really good people and having good connections, you know, that might benefit you. I know in the beginning it was like, it might be really easy for someone to say, I just want to jump at this opportunity to play here because it seems, you know, like the right thing to do. But, that's not always the case. And I think the more solid relationships that you make with good, trustworthy people, again, that usually leads to more good people and connections and other venues and performances in the future that you really want, you know. And I think it's really important to be patient too, because you're not going to get all those really good gigs that you want and venues overnight. You know, you got to prove yourself and you got to get to know the right people as well.
That's some solid advice right there. I mean, for even if you're not into music or anything, like if you just take that for how it is, that's awesome.
Yeah, right. I mean, in life in general, I agree with you. Yeah.
So what do you think happened to rock music within the past 10 years, and why do you think it became so unpopular?
Oh, boy. I just think, once again, you can relate that to anything. No matter what you're talking about in your life, everything goes through its cycles and changes. And I just, in my opinion, that the music and entertainment industry is really fickle. You have to be patient and love what you love. I honestly think that it's as simple as people's tastes change so many years. And in the music industry, you know, they want to make the most money they can in the easiest way possible. To do that for them would be to, you know, seize the moment. What's hot at the time? What's going to sell? What do people want to see? What are people going to spend their money on? And I just think that it's, you know, it's going through its cycle. And I can tell you right now, I mean, my presets in my car are still on Ozzy's Boneyard, Hair Nation, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Rock Bar, and Classic Rewind. And the good thing is, no matter what the trends is, I know what I like. I still listen to that stuff today, and I think I will for the rest of my life. But I just think that, you know, everything goes through its phases, Matt. And right now, it's not popular, and I don't know the reason why. But I know it's popular with me, and I know most of my friends, you know, especially the people that I'm in the band with, it's just like they're going to love rock and roll and that style of music forever, just like I will.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, same with my friends. It's just, it's just weird. You're right. I mean, it goes through its phases and stuff, and like mainstream, it's kind of making a revival though. I mean, there's a couple of bands out there like Greta Van Fleet and Velvet Starlings and Rival Sons. They're going out there, they're playing, people are liking them, but they're just not really picking up that traction they need to take the next step.
There's hope. I'll give you an example. This morning I had to go out and start my daughter's car to, you know, get it warmed up for her. And the radio came on, and she had a CD in, and it was Aerosmith's Greatest Hits.
Wow.
So, you know, she could have been listening to anything, but the last thing she was listening to in there was Steven Tyler and Joe Perry and Aerosmith. So, you know, there you go.
I would be surprised if Jim Bersey's daughter was listening to anything else.
I tell you, and she does listen to a lot of other things, but she likes rock and roll too, so...
That's a good
thing.
All right, so we have our last question for tonight. I was wondering if there's any bands today that you are interested in. Any new bands that are out today?
Well, yeah, and first off, say, Matt, that I'm going to listen to my favorites forever. I already mentioned Kiss. Yep. I loved Whitesnake. I loved David Coverdale. And you can't say David Coverdale without referring to Deep Purple.
Yep.
Always will love Deep Purple. You know, when we get into the 80s, Bon Jovi and Rat, Van Halen, Ozzy Osbourne, of course, Led Zeppelin, Boston, I could go on and on. All the bands that I'm sure that you probably love to listen to as
Absolutely.
Well. Another one that might surprise you, but ELO, the Electric Light Orchestra.
I love ELO too.
I love them. And it was so cool. Quick story. Couple years ago, maybe even 3 years ago, before, you know, the pandemic hit and everything, I took my wife and my daughters up to PPG Arena in Pittsburgh to see ELO in concert. And it was one of the coolest times ever, just to be there with my wife and my daughters, and they love ELO as well. And I was like, I'm glad I got to do this. You know, this is live music. This is a great band. It might be one of the last times to see them because they've been around for a long time. And, that was just so cool. But, newer bands that I've been listening to, I would say recently, there's a band out of St. Louis, Missouri, and they're called Stir, STIR. I would give them a listen. You know, look them up. They're on whatever you know music platform you use.
Okay.
There's another band I really, really love. They're from Canada. They're called Big Wreck. That would be one that I would definitely recommend to you. I really like Eddie Van Halen's son's stuff from Mammoth WVH.
Uh-huh.
His you know, debut CD. Unbelievable singer, guitar player, bassist, drummer. I mean, he played everything and did everything. Keyboards, the whole deal on that album. He's just a great, awesome talent. And this is a new band, Matt, but the last one, and I just started listening to, I think this is one of their last CDs that they made. They were one of the bands in the 90s, and I'm sure you remember Candlebox.
Yeah, okay, yep.
I think it was the last CD they made before they really, like, fell out of mainstream, and I really been listening to that last CD they made a lot, and I would highly recommend that you listen to that if you get a chance. Just really good stuff, and that's like the most recent things that I can remember that I either have in my car or on my phone that I've been listening to a lot lately.
Okay, I will for sure give those bands a look, or a listen, I guess, not a look.
Yeah, I don't think you'll be disappointed. I mean, I think it would be right up anyone's alley who loves good guitar-fronted, really good hooks and licks and good melodies and everything. Just all around good bands and good CDs to listen to, or whatever you want to do, you know, look them up, and I highly recommend them.
All right. Yeah, for sure. I will definitely check them out. I wanted to thank you again for calling in. I really, really appreciate this.
Well, Matt, I want to thank you again, because when I got your message, I was like, oh, this is awesome. This is great. I can't wait to do this for you. I'm really thankful that you asked me.
Well, I appreciate you. All right, Mr. Bersey. I'll talk to you later. Thank you for calling in, man.
All right, Matt. Have a good evening, buddy.
You too. See ya.
Thanks. We'll see ya.
Bye. Well, I just got off the phone with Jim Bersey. What a great interview. He's such a nice guy. And I can't thank him enough for calling in. That was really awesome of him. So this has been Matt Barge in the studio with Jim Bersey here on WGLZ West Liberty. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. Let's get back to music.